Testing.
1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Mobile World Congress
special podcast,
which is not going to be about the iPhone because the iPhone isn't here.
Well, lots of iPhones are here, but Apple aren't here.
John Jordan is with me.
Hello, Will. Hello, listeners.
We're not using the big mic. We're using John's dictaphone because I forgot to bring the mic.
So, sound quality may be an issue.
Yeah, sound quality might be a bit crap, so we'll keep this one fairly short. Also, yeah. I mean, while lots of people are using iPhones, and Blackberries, that seem to be the two main phone types.
I think a lot of Android stuff this year, more than last year. I think that's been the big growth I've seen. Lots of people.
Yeah, quite a few Samsungs. Yeah. No one's talking about the iPhone, though, not in public. Because it's all Android this week, so we're sorry if we offend you.
Yeah, well, I'm not offended. I don't know. I think it is interesting because obviously the iPad 3 announcement, the iPad 3 press conference has been announced. So to a degree, in the iOS world, that's the big news of the week.
Yes.
And I was reading some of it, and people were kind of saying, iPhone or iPad 3 overshadowed Mobile World Congress. And to be honest, even yesterday. I mean, obviously, we're just saying, finally that announcement's been, the conference's been announced. But I don't think it's really overshadowed it at all. I mean, I kind of think, which may be the wrong thing to say on this particular podcast, but, this year it actually shows that whether you see them as competitors to Apple or not, but the whole of the mobile ecosystem, the other bits of it are all pretty, I think in pretty good shape. Even people like kind of Nokia, who have kind of had a bad kind of year or so, now seem to be on the right track. With some of the new devices. Maybe we'll talk about that later. And I know I'm a little bit out on a limb on this one when it comes to RIM, but I've had a lot of contact with RIM recently, and I kind of chatted to some of their guys at this show again. And okay.
I just think because the whole
mobile industry is so buoyant at the moment that even people who are in second or third or fourth
shall
place.
Shall we start before we go on to actual news and stuff we've seen? Actually, no. Let's start with stuff we've seen because Mobile World Congress is a huge event.
Yeah, so you should really explain it a little bit, shouldn't you?
Is it the biggest mobile event in the year, would you say, in terms of hardware announcements? Is it bigger than SES for that? Because that's more
obviously Mobile World Congress is purely mobile, so it's not bigger than CES, but in terms of mobile stuff,
can't call it CES.
Oh, he's not.
No, you've got to call it SES.
Okay, so it's bigger than that in terms of mobile stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So pretty much everyone. All the big mobile guys are here, apart from Apple. Apple have never come.
Lots of people. There's no problems in Mobile World Congress because lots of people are offering solutions.
backhaul in Ethernet solutions.
Yeah,
and stuff,
every solution you can think of, except for an actual solution.
I want a problem.
Who's sending me problems? So of course it's a bit lavish. We've got lots of people. Pegasus made of screens.
Yes, there's lots of. I've been coming for a bit longer than Will, so probably like 4 or 5 years now, and every year it's kind of the Chinese manufacturers, so the Huawei and ZTE, and there's lots of other ones as well.
Yeah, they're all
getting kind of bigger, but all the, in terms of other kind of manufacturers, obviously there's kind of Nokias and Sonys, as they are now, not Sony Ericsson. And
Sony Mobile.
Yeah, and Samsung and LG, Google have a big presence as well.
Yeah, and there's even the Fujitsu there, Motorola.
Panasonic.
So there's a lot of people here, just not Apple.
Anyway,
but yes, we had a protest, anti-capitalist.
Oh, was there?
Outside.
I missed that.
Yeah, did you not see that? Cardboard.
Oh, that was on the first day.
It wasn't very good.
No. Okay.
Also, I'm not really sure what they're protesting about.
I think we're getting very off the subject.
Anyway, so yes, we've seen quite a few new bits of hardware. Of course, Nvidia was showing off their new chip, which is their 4+1 I can't call it a companion chip. Anyway, so that was the Tegra 3, and that's been in a few of the devices that were announced, including the Optimus 4X HD, the HTC One. I love HTC's Android names. They're absolutely mental.
It's the one.
HTC One.
It's not even the one. It's the
no. It's one. One X.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, HTC One X, because there's a One S and the One V, which don't have that same chip. Yeah, I know. It's bizarre.
Although on the Apple front, there is the company that makes the GPUs that go in Apple products, Imagination Technologies were, of course, there, so there is a tenuous Apple link to the Mobile World Congress.
They wouldn't confirm that they designed the architecture for the graphics cards used in the next iPad, but
although at least now on their stand they can put up old iPad 2 and an iPhone 4S, which they never used to do. They've never used to be any comment
about that. And then they said, we did that last year. And I was like, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was saying to you, like, why can't you say that? And then they were saying, well, we can't say.
No, it's all just legal.
It's bizarre. So, yeah, but they were there. And also, I spoke to them, and they were, of course, drumming up support for their next graphics card.
It's a Series 6, isn't it?
Series 6, otherwise known as Rogue. And I recommended their next code name, because it's code name Rogue.
Okay.
I told them, that's a great name. Mm. You should just call the chip Rogue. And the next one should be called Vagabond.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, okay.
The new Vagabond chip from Imagination Technologies.
So the problem, so we're getting a bit technical here, but the problem with Imagination, not the problem with them, but they can't call the... Because they do an architecture,
they don't make the chip, so someone
else will then, like Samsung, will integrate it into a chip design themselves, so they don't really have naming rights in that same way, do they?
Yes, indeed, yeah. So,
but I guess this brings us to an interesting point. I mean, over the last weeks and months, speculation about iPad 3 is obviously kind of rampant.
Yes.
So it will be interesting to see next week, to hear next week, exactly if all that... Because it's the most leaked Apple device ever, isn't it? I mean, there's so many components have appeared on the net which may or may not be
There was an interesting one. I can't say who told me this, but there was an interesting suggestion from someone I was speaking to at the event, which is that he thought that... I'm okay saying he, so it's not exactly...
The number of women here are pretty few.
He was saying that he expected it to be another dual core.
Well, I mean,
because of the way the ARM architecture and
stuff. That's certainly what I've heard, and it's obviously there was this kind of the image maybe 2 weeks ago where it wasn't everyone was expecting it to be to be the chip to be the A6 chip, and that would have been a quad core, but it's the A5X chip, which obviously we can't tell if that's a legitimate kind of part size.
I think it'll be just called the iPad 2S.
No, I don't think.
Come on, tell the truth.
I think that would be odd, wouldn't it? I think Apple can kind of, for the phones, people can understand there's a cycle there, but I think for the iPads, I think that they're going to stick with a numerical increase.
If they keep dual core,
How
are they going to power the screen if it is going to be the screen?
Well, obviously,
a lot of resolution.
Pixels. Well, as my friends at Qualcomm, who aren't involved in the iPad architecture. My friends at Qualcomm.
Yeah. Why don't you say more about your friends?
No, they're just friends. But their big moment is they've just announced like their first quad core devices.
That's the Snapdragon
S4 Pro.
Yeah.
So, but the majority of their stuff at the moment is still dual core, and they're pointing out that because they designed the entire chip, that they're on benchmarking compared to Nvidia stuff or ARM Mali 400, that their stuff performs as well, if not better, and is much better in terms of kind of power consumption. So, I mean, I guess their high level marketing thing is it doesn't really matter how many cores you've got, it's how well those cores are designed, and you can have four cores, and if they run too hot, then you get hot device battery power, you use up your battery too much. So I don't have a problem with the iPad 3 being a dual core because it will be designed. I mean, obviously the CPU.
Remember,
the CPU will have been
publicly available benchmarks. This is what Imagination Technologies points me at. Like GLBenchmarks.com has user submitted scores for all of the main hardware, and their Series 5 is still faster than the Tegra 3.
Is it?
By about 30%, that's the one that's in the iPad 2.
Because obviously the GPU will have an effect, but it's the GPU, the graphics processor, has to be fed stuff by the CPU. There's a bus between the two that involves memory,
cache.
I don't really know. I know enough to make myself sound intelligent about it. Yeah, but clearly, when you're designing one of these chips, there's different components.
I think you just complimented me there in a sort of backhanded way.
Yes, sort of. Well, so you say you do understand it then? Okay, that's fine if you do.
No, you just said it. I don't know enough to sound. sound intelligent after I'd said something about caches.
No, I don't. Yeah. So I think the big thing of this 5x3 is if it has retina resolution screen. Everyone seems to suggest that it's going to have that.
Yeah.
I think if it has that, then Apple will have obviously the hardware, the internal, you know, kind of chip stuff and the memory.
It could well be that they go for a quad core GPU.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
And a dual core CPU.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the other thing we have to remember. We talk kind of throw terms around like kind of quad core and dual core. You know, what exact component are you talking about? Because you know, a CPU architecture is quite different to a GPU architecture in terms of what it's actually doing. You know. So anyway, we're getting probably.
Anyway, sorry. Yes. Yeah, so we saw a lot of things.
Before we leave the iPad 3 though, another kind of big rumor, and it's something we kind of run on Biz before. That about a month ago, it was kind of like leaked that Apple were going out, because obviously when they do an iPad 3, that's going to be about gaming pretty much. What we assume is gaming is going to be a large part of how they sell that update. Yeah. I mean, there may be some other weird things. NFC.
They'll have Siri.
Yeah. But it's expecting that. But we know they've been actually going out and looking, talking to developers and saying, have you got any really kind of high end 3D graphic? Yeah, high-end 3D graphical games that we can kind of showcase iPad 3. And so we can't say any specific names of stuff that's coming up, but we definitely know of kind of three or four, you know, I mean, it's sense of the usual suspects if you kind of think about who does really high-end 3D graphics on iOS's.
Yeah, I can think of I don't know who they are.
No. But it's really interesting that I think there's going to be, I mean, obviously there's people like, you know, EA and Gameloft are always kind of put in there because they're the big publishers, but there's going to be, I think there's going to be a much wider display of the support that something like an iPad gets for very high-end games. iPad 3 will get for very high-end games, and I mean, and you're kind of seeing, you know, just the shader effects are much, you know, much more complicated.
Yeah.
And again, on the imagination stand, we're talking to a company called Jumerics, and we're getting quite technical here, but they do what's called kind of real-time radiosity lighting solutions.
Yes. Should be film footage of what their technology does.
And in kind of consumer terms, it's basically dynamic shadowing. It's just the lighting of a room. If you see like, you know, a screenshot or a video or, you know, kind of footage of a game without their technology and one with, I mean, it's amazing.
To make it very obvious, their lighting technology was the thing that powered Frostbite 2's engine, which is, well, not powered, but it was used in the lighting for Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
So if you remember how good Battlefield 3's lighting looked compared to other games, then you're on the right sort of track.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be the same thing for every title, but it's that sort of, it's the algorithms that allow that to happen without consuming too much power in the process.
It's really interesting, because I was talking to one of their engineers today about, because this is interesting, so... when it comes to iPad 3, at the moment they're working on the technology. It's not ready to go. I mean, they hope a game will come out this year, 2012, that uses their tech. But they are doing, interestingly, they've got in submission at the moment an app. So like an Epic Citadel type tech demo.
Yes, that
will just show you how you use their lighting. But they're unsure whether Apple are going to approve it, because it only works on iPad 2 or iPhone 4S class hardware.
Approved?
Well, they were saying they weren't sure. I don't know. I think it should be approved, because
it's exactly
what Apple needs to showcase really high-end stuff. Because I've got an iPad 1, I like it. It's kind of, for me, it's not an issue at the moment, but obviously still probably a lot of people do have original iPad. And so some people buy, when a new iPad will come out, will just immediately buy it, because that's what they do. But then other people just like, well, I just use it for web browsing. So they do need to kind of force that upgrade cycle all the time. So anyway, I guess the short thing is, I think for the iPad 3 kind of press conference, obviously it's going to be the same week as GDC, which is the game development conference, which is one of the big game conferences happening in San Francisco at the same time as the Apple conference, which is why they're doing it. So I think games will be a large part of that announcement.
Thank you for that very long-winded explanation.
Jeez,
take a breath. So we were talking to tablets, so keeping on the same theme, we saw Samsung's latest effort. Oh, did you see it?
Which one's this?
Galaxy Note 10.1?
Yep, okay.
Galaxy Tab 2. Do you want to know why? Because the Galaxy Tab 2 is the same as the Galaxy Tab, essentially.
Yeah.
So, and weirdly, the 10.1 is actually an upgrade. It's got a faster processor. It's got more features. It's not like the Galaxy
Note. It's got a stylus.
It's got rubber on the stylus.
What's that all about?
The thing is, though, if you ditch the stylus, it's actually pretty good as a tablet.
Yeah, I don't understand why they put the stylus in there.
If you put the stylus in, it's kind of horrible as a handwriting recognition.
But why do they put the stylus in there? I don't understand the marketing point.
They just released the iPad 2. No, wait, that's the other company. It's so easy to mix those two up. The Galaxy Tab 2. Mm. And that's literally just to get out of legal issues, yeah. I'm pretty certain, because that is no upgrade. The specs haven't changed.
But it's surprising how, you know, we cover this, again on Bids, we cover this a lot, and just the whole Apple-Samsung legal thing is just like, it's just mind-blowingly complex. And the amount of people, you know, amount of countries they're suing each other in, and like one of them will win in one country, and then one of them will like, win against another in another country, and then there's, I mean, obviously there's Apple and Motorola suing each other, and just unless you're a lawyer, you really can't keep track of who's winning what and who's kind of on the up and who's not allowed to use, because they're not allowed to use Google, you know, all Android stuff now. They're not using the swipe to open feature, because that's via patent, so now you'll kind of have this bubble.
Yeah, LG's one's quite cool.
It's nice, isn't it?
Like you move in and it goes ripples up.
So it's basically nice. So it's basically like a circle. It's just, you press the screen and like a circle appears, and you pull it, just pull it down onto the screen, and it's like a ripple effect opens the kind of the whatever, the homepage,
nice,
or whatever.
Just simply sliding left, sliding right to one looks a bit better, but obviously they can't do that.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I think there's kind of quite a lot of kind of innovation happening, kind of UI design, and you know, it's really.
Well, anyway, so we also saw the thing with the quad core phones for me is that there was nothing there to really demonstrate what they.
No, there's nothing. It really showed off the that.
Because it was old games. It was mainly that Riptide GP.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah.
Which was.
Although saying that on the Nvidia stand, they had a few, but they were quite PC looking, weren't they? I kind of thought. Which is Nvidia's,
maybe that's
my mental thing.
But it's they're the only ones with actual original games. Though all the manufacturers had like Riptide.
Wasn't it the Dark Kingdoms?
Did
you play that? Yeah, I saw you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's good. I almost can guarantee that all these games will arrive on iOS after like a month or two of exclusive.
Oh, there's another one. There's a from I don't know, perhaps a Japanese company INIS it's called Eden to Green.
It's good go on that. Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm going to do tomorrow. But
that's quite. It's quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked quite.
But again, it's not really. You don't need a quad core to run it. It's not. You know, it's like a kind of. RTS style game where you're taking over territory. It's turn-based.
So
you don't, you know, graphically it's not that amazing. But
yeah, it looks quite a good game.
Yeah. Should we quickly run through some of the kind of other highlights? I mean, there were a few things I really liked. You go to the Sony mobile. They've got now a watch.
Oh, I saw that. That was awesome.
So it's a watch, and talking to them, it looks like a little bit like an iPod Nano.
It's slightly
smaller. Yeah. So, but you have a watch, and it syncs via Bluetooth, I guess, to your Android device. Apparently, any Android device potentially, but obviously only Sony or certain level Sony Ericsson devices will give you full functionality.
Mm.
And you can just make calls on it and kind of check out what's going on your phone on it. Obviously, it's a small screen, so it's not getting that much kind of input, but interesting
as well about
expensive. It's about 130 euros, I think.
The other interesting thing about the Sony mobile stand is that of course they had the PS Vita everywhere. Now there's one and the same company. So you had the tablet S next door to the Vita next door to the PS3 next to
PS3s. I think I didn't see PS3.
Yeah, were there?
Yeah,
Wipeout was being displayed on PS3.
Okay.
So it was. Yeah, it was very weird. You don't normally see games consoles in a mobile event.
Yeah.
Also, what else?
Nokia.
Nokia.
Not seen.
No, I've still not seen it. 41 megapixel
camera sensor on their. Their final Symbian smartphone.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. It's called the 880, not the 808, is it? It's 8800, I can't remember.
I haven't seen it yet.
But it is an amazing I mean, obviously Nokia have a reputation with the N8 for making very good kind of cameras on phones.
The N8's camera was that good.
Yeah, I don't know.
I prefer the iPhones.
Okay, well, that is a personal thing. Lots of people like the N8, but this new one is
they're wrong.
the new one has a 41 megapixel sensor. The biggest image you can get out of it is an 8 megapixel image, because it's basically you super sample the raw sensor. So basically, what happens is say, depending on the resolution you want your kind of image out at, it will take maybe 8 pixels from the raw sensor and squash those down. Compress is probably the wrong word, but kind of squash them down. Use the information in those 8 pixels to create 1 pixel. So you're basically taking the 41 kind of megapixel sensor and reducing it down, because obviously you don't want a raw image that's 100 megabytes on a phone. It's kind of hard to use, but the interesting thing about it is it's just the zooming ability. So you take a photo and then you just zoom in to like a tiny bit of it and then keep zooming in again, and it's pretty much that's great. Also stabilization, very interesting kind of software. Obviously it has a big, it's quite a bulgy camera, it has a big kind of Carl Zeiss kind of lens mounting on it, so wouldn't really fit necessarily into the kind of the candy bar smartphone kind of thing we now expect, but it'd certainly be interesting to see how that technology gets rolled into a Windows phone.
Mm. I had to go with the Lumia 900, which was now confirmed as coming to Europe. We all thought that was going to happen anyway. It's a very nice phone. I really liked it. It's a solid Windows phone.
I kind of prefer, it's a bit too big for me. I had the 800 for a while, and I quite like just that. It was very small, you know. Well, not very small, but for me, I've got quite small hands, so I quite like a small phone. Slightly chunkier hands.
Massive.
You know what they say about men with big hands.
Big gloves. Yeah.
So that was good. I enjoyed the Nokia stand. Very well designed.
I ran into a fan. So hello, if you're listening to the podcast. Thanks very much. You were very, very nice. And I didn't know how to answer someone saying I'm a fan of yours. So awkward sort of
awkward silence. What else was there then? It was really cool. Again, I'm sitting on my own strange room on my own. There's a really excellent demo by
sitting on your own
I'm trying to think
room,
of the metaphor. So on the RIM stand, it's a RIM bought a company called the Incredible Tribe, who are really quite famous Swedish user interface company, which user interface just means how you interact with the screen and how it kind of animates and how you get information out of your device. And they're very conceptual, very cutting-edge stuff. And they were using 4 playbooks, had a camera, a very cheap camera mounted in the ceiling, actually a black and white camera, and they were moving files between those 4 playbooks just by kind of flicking them. So, like, they're like a PDF presentation, and one person would kind of control it and flick it to all the other ones, and then people would then kind of flick their own ones around. They could flick it to like a big projector screen, and I mean, just very nicely done, very simple interface. And you, for me, obviously being there for Poppy Gaming, just like thinking of all the things you could do with gaming.
Leading on from that, I also saw Google Beam in action.
Oh, no,
that
was interesting as well.
Between two Android phones running.
So, do you want to say what Google Beam is?
Well, hang on, between two Android phones running Soulcraft. So, yeah. Beam, it uses NFC, and basically you.
Near field
communication. And you basically put the phones next to each other, and in Soulcraft, it then activates the two player mode.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And then you can pull them apart, and then you can play in two player instantly on your own.
It's quite interesting because for other games, if I had a game and I was showing you, I could tap your phone. So it's like a bump thing for iOS, I guess, isn't it? So basically, I could, and you, if you wanted that game, I could just kind of beam that to you, and it would take you immediately to the Android market. And you could download But obviously, in the case of Soulcraft, it was actually both of us would have the game. We'd both be kind of wanting to play,
on the bus
or something, and it would just start the game. And obviously, that makes it much easier than trying to do it through Bluetooth or whatever, kind of go through, you know, a social networking open fate interesting stuff.
I saw two Android robots dancing with Batman and Catwoman.
You saw people dressed in those costumes, didn't you?
They were
the worst Batman and Catwoman. They were quite chunky.
Yeah.
The suits didn't really fit them.
No, they didn't fit well at all. It was kind of a bit funny. What else did I see? They were giving out like free beer at the end of.
Did you have an ice cream sandwich?
No, I had a smoothie.
Yeah, okay, so Google were making, because Android 4.0 is codenamed ice cream sandwich, so obviously they were handing out fat, large ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, I saw them. Yeah. I don't really like
a lot of calories in those, I would have thought. Yeah.
But the smoothie wasn't quite as vicious as last year's, because I used the Google stand last year for energy bursts, which was it was pure sugar. But anyway, so I think we should wrap
up. I think obviously it's a pretty good show. I've enjoyed myself. I've got one day left to go. If we can kind of muster up the energies back into the breach.
Yeah.
And but it's going to be, actually, I should quickly say, well, obviously we'll be out by the time the podcast comes out, but the IMGAs, which is one of the big mobile awards, they're going to be presented tomorrow. So obviously there'll be some iPhone games or iOS games bringing that.
We've got a couple of our staff on the panel, isn't it?
Yes, I'm on a panel tomorrow for the IMGAs, yeah, and you were involved in the judging, and I was involved in the judging, so it's hopefully, touch with all that, the winners will be worthy winners, so...
Hope so.
Check out the IMGAs.
If they're not, blame
Chris. Blame Chris.
Chris or Eli, blame those two.
Yes.
Alright, well anyway, we will talk to you, there'll be a proper one out next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.